talk about different words. It's interesting, there's so many different words for happiness in the Torah. And it's scattered all over Tanakh. So one of the words used is simcha. Yudim haita, ora v'simcha. Ora v'simcha. Right, we'll get this on one second. So let's start with simcha, right? Simcha is a word which it became a name. It's used for, sometimes used for men,
and some girls,
and sometimes used for women. It's Friday, we use it for women. Ashkenaz, we use it for men. It's interesting.
And simcha. It's occasion, too.
And it's an occasion, a simcha, a joy. Simcha is joy. So a wedding is called a simcha, bar mitzvah is called bat mitzvah, it's called a simcha. It's a name for both males and females as well, which is amazing. It's a very versatile name. Simcha is a very versatile name. Isn't that amazing? It's a versatile name. You wanna, how do you express yourself in joy? Simcha. Chag Sameach. Sameach. Simcha. Simcha is amazing. There's another kind of word which is a deeper, lasting happiness. And that is osher. Osher v'chavod. Osher. What's osher? Happiness, but it's a joy. It's a deeper kind of happiness. Osher. Ashrei yoshve v'techa. Thank you. Ashrei yoshve v'techa.
Osher is like wealth.
Osher is, no, it's an ayin. Ayin is wealth. Aleph is with happiness. Aleph is joy, a deeper a joy. Osher, a deeper, lasting kind of happiness. Ashrei yoshve v'techa. Happy are those who dwell in your house, like we're doing right now. Feel happy? You're meant to. We're dwelling in God's house. This is God's house. We're dwelling in God's house. So it's a deeper, lasting kind of happiness. Osher. And then we have La'idim Haita Ora. Ora is
light.
But it's also a kind of joy. Ora v'simcha. It's put in the same verse. Ora v'simcha. So two different kinds of joy, it seems. There's ora. And the rabbis say, ora is the light of the mitzvot. A person does a mitzvah, you get a kind of joy from inside. It's a joy within, which is like a light which lights up your soul. Amazing. So it's a very, very Torah or, right? So it's a very spiritual kind of happiness. Ora. It's the more we get closer to light, the more spiritual things become. It's interesting because the gematria of the word light is, quickly, 207. 207. Aleph, Vav, Resh. Aleph is 1, Vav is 6, and Resh is 200. So it's 207. And the rabbis said many years ago, they said the gematria of the word light or is Raz. It's a secret. Light is the biggest secret, as we know today. That light, they still don't know. Is it a particle? Is it a wave? Physics is still debating. What is light? And the answer is light is the closest we can get to spirituality. Right? We talk about the light of Hashem. But Or Panecha, the light of Hashem's face. Radiance of Hashem's face. The Or. Or is very, very critical. So Or is a very spiritual kind of light. So La'idim Haita Ora. The Jews had Ora. After Purim, it says the Jews had Ora v'simcha. They had both the light of the spirituality and they had the joy of the physicality. Beautiful. Both. We need both in our lives. We need the one and the other. We know Shabbat, you need the spiritual light and the physical light. So just not just the eating and the partying, but also the spirituality involved as well. That's Or. Ora. Another word for, which became a Hebrew name, Gila. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, V'chedva, right? Then come to that. The Gila is a joy, which is mentioned in the Shev Rachot. Gila is a very, very interesting kind of a joy. So you have men's names called Gil. Gil is joy, right? And Gila is a girl's name, Gila. So it's an exuberant outburst of joy. Or it's the happiness of a discovery, but it's a flash of happiness that comes because of something happened. Flash of happiness. Gila. Gal is a wave, right? So it could be an emotional kind of wave. Comes quickly, and it goes quickly as well, unfortunately. So that's the trouble with these different kinds of emotions. Then we have Rina, we're going through the pasuk, right? Gila Rina. Rina is another girl's name. Rina. Rina is a term of refreshing happiness. It's refreshing. It's happiness, which is a refreshing kind of happiness. Rina. Ditsa. Ditsa is a sublime kind of joy. Amazing. Sublime joy.
What's the next one?
Ditsa. Ditsa. Yeah, it's this in the blessing of the groom. Right? The seven blessings and the chuppah. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva is the next one. Chedva, also a girl's name. Chedva.
My granddaughter's name.
Gila, Rina, Ditsa.
So what does Ditsa mean?
A sublime joy, very high elevation.
That's Ditsa?
Yeah, Ditsa. Sason. One second, we didn't get that yet. Sason. Slowly. I'm giving you all the words for joy in the Torah. This is amazing. This is an encyclopedia over here. Did says sublime joy. Sason. It's a very famous Iraqi name. Sason. Huh? We have Rabbi Sason, who's very famous. Do you want to open it?
Leave it.
Leave it open. Nice breeze over here. So Sason is a joy. Became a very famous Sephardic name, Sason. Sason. And we have at the end, we have Tzahala. I have a girl in my class, Tzahala. Tzahala is also kind of joy. Happiness and dancing. It's a dancing kind of joy. And lastly, we have Chedva. Chedva, which is happiness of togetherness. Everyone together. Chedva is happiness of togetherness. So, huh? Chedva is like together. It's not just one person by himself. You can't be Chedva by yourself. You have to be Chedva with people. So Chedva is like a joining of minds together.
Okay, so what does Sason mean?
Sason is a happiness which is unexpected. Sason, unexpected happiness. All of a sudden you win the lottery. That's Sason. And I say in the Megillah, right? Sason vikar. Sason is, they didn't expect such a great happiness in such a short period of time. The Jews, they're under the threat of the sword, and then all of a sudden, Sason, unexpected joy. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all have all these different kinds, we'll experience all these different kinds of simcha. But the trick is to keep it and remember it and all the time, even when a person's not happy, that the remembrance of the happiness will bring them to happiness. Okay. So the Torah continues. The Torah says in Devarim, terrible curses. Because you did not serve the Lord your God. Besimcha, with joy, ubetuv levav, and a goodness of the heart. So it's very, very critical when a person does a mitzvah to do the mitzvah with joy and a good heart. It's very hard sometimes. And that's the Ben Ish Chai, the famous Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai says, why on Sukkot does it tell you all the time? Besamachta bechagecha, rejoice on your festival. So he says, number one is you're going to take time off from work. How can a person rejoice when you're taking time off from work? Especially in those days, it was not paid. It was unpaid leave. Your unpaid leave. Number two is you have all the expenses of the festival. So he says, no, that's what the Torah says. Keeps on repeating, Vesamachta, you will be happy. And you will be happy. Despite all the adversities, you will be happy. You know, those days, we're lucky. We can take Shabbat off, unless you're a rabbi. you can take Shabbat off. And you don't get penalized, you don't lose your job. In those days, 50s or the 40s, whatever, 30s, 40s, people lose their jobs. They have to live with this trepidation all week long. You're earning a living and then you get thrown out. And how are you going to be happy on Shabbat? And then that's the trick. The question is, how is a person going to be happy? We have to be happy doing mitzvot. So a person has time off and they're doing mitzvot, there should be really tremendous happiness. You could serve God with happiness and joy. It's tremendous bracha. So it's very, very important. It's critical to serve Hashem with bracha and happiness in Parashat Ki Tavo. If do it Hashem be vegilu birada. If do it Hashem simcha vegilu birnana. Birnana. Rina is Rina. Rina is the same we talked about. Rina. Rina is refreshing happiness. If do it Hashem simcha vegilu birnana. Birnana. Right? Gilu birnana. Birnana. Rinana. Rinana is Rina. Rina is the joy we talk about. So, Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha became a very famous catchphrase. Hasidim especially, Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha, they made a song. Ivdu, Et Hashem B'Simcha, right? Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha, serve Hashem with joy. It's a very, very important idea. A person lights the Shabbat candles, you've got to do it with joy. You're preparing for Shabbat, do it with joy. It's very, very critical. You're cleaning for Pesach, do it with joy. Yes.
So what about what we say in Havdalah? Somewhere is that
very good. We say that some people say the Pesukim. Yeah, we say the Pesukim from the Megillah. Layudim Haita. Layudim Haita. It was for the Jews. Layudim Haita. Ora. Light. We said this light is like the brilliance of the light after the darkness. A spiritual light. Spiritual energy. Layudim Haita. Ora. Vesimcha. Joy. So, Besason. Another kind of joy. Vikar. And glory. So, different things that we get. Hopefully it's a sign for the new week. So we say nice psukim, we say nice verses when Shabbat goes out to bless the new week that comes in. So psukim which deal with joy and happiness and blessing. So that's one of the best psukim, which has all the joyous phrases in it. So it's very important to serve Hashem with joy. Worship Hashem with joy, v'duchem b'simcha, v'gilu birnana, and come before God with joyful song. So imagine, you go to the Beit HaMikdash. One of the important ingredients of the Beit HaMikdash, which we lost today, we don't have this today, is the Levim, the Levites, would go on the Duchan, which is the platform of the Beit HaMikdash, with their musical instruments, and sing, and the choir, had a choir of musical instruments, and we lost this today. We don't have this music, this glorious music, which it says, when you listen to this music, your soul is uplifted. A tremendous part of the service of Hashem is the music. That a person, they couldn't bring the sacrifices without the music. Why? Because you have to do the sacrifices, have served God with the joy, with the enjoyment. Tremendous enjoyment.
They could play instruments.
Huh? They played instruments even on Shabbat in the temple.
I know, I'm asking how come?
How come? Because that was before the rabbis made these laws. The rabbis didn't make these laws yet. The rabbis made these laws after the temple was destroyed. It says, Al Narot Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, V'Zochrenu Tzion. And one of the verses says, V'Talinu Kinorotenu. We hung up our harps. When the temple was destroyed, they hung up their harps. Music stopped. There's a whole big discussion today. You're allowed to play music. You're not allowed to drink wine and listen to instrumental music in Jewish law, unless it's for the sake of a mitzvah. So you have a bar mitzvah. If you go to an expensive restaurant, you're drinking wine and listening to the piano music or other kind of music in the background, it's forbidden. In fact, I was at a VOD meeting a few years ago, and they had a question about Jerusalem pizza. Are you allowed to listen to background music? Are we allowing them to play black background music? So the answer is, well, they're not drinking wine over there, so no problem. Plus, it's background music, it's not live music. So it's live entertainment with wine is only allowed today because it's a simcha. Of a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, you're not allowed to. Why? Because then enjoying this world, the temple is destroyed. How can we enjoy it? So interesting, our rejoicing is being cut down. Our rejoicing today is cut down because of the destruction of the temple. But in those days, it was fantastic. The temple was there. And in the temple, part of the structure of the temple was the Levites had to have good voices. Some of them had good voices, I guess. And the other guys who didn't have good voices, they would play the musical instruments. And the guys that didn't know how to play and didn't have voices, they were the schleppers. They were the janitors of the temple, the Levites. They were the guards also. They were tough. The Levites, very versatile. They were guards. They played music. They sang songs. And amazing. So it was a joyous celebration. And the only music that was allowed in the temple were the Psalms of David. No one else. David HaMelech Psalms. Hashem loved David HaMelech Psalms. We talked about it last week. So the word root is based on the word raveh. One of the sources. Raveh. What's raveh? Kosi revayah. David HaMelech says, my cup overflows. He says, no one overflowed with praises to God as much as David HaMelech. He was just overflowing with praises. Imagine, every day a person says, thank you Hashem so much. I appreciate everything you did for me. Always overflowing with praises. No one was overflowing by praise like David HaMelech. And therefore Hashem says, I like his praises the most. They came with all his heart. And therefore, that's the only praises I want in my temple. King David's praises. Okay, so we know that his son, Shlomo Melech, in his book Kohelet, says everything is vanity. Even joy is vanity. But here the Talmud says, it's not talking about joy of a mitzvah, it's talking about joy of stupidity. You go to a comedy club, that kind of joy is vanity. But joy of a mitzvah, a person involved with a mitzvah and happy doing a mitzvah, that is tremendous, a tremendous benefit. Tremendous benefit. Okay, in the Talmud, happiness and sadness are associated with particular months of the Jewish calendar. So it says, "Mishenichnas Adar, marbim b'simcha." When Adar, the month of Adar comes, we increase our joy, increasing happiness in the month of Adar. However, in the month of Av, we decrease our happiness. Interesting. So there's certain times of the year, based on what happened in those times of the year, we increase. It's interesting, if you look at it, it says increase and decrease. It doesn't say not to be happy. It says you increase your joy in Adar, which implies that you're joyous all the time. A Jew has to be joyous all the time. It's very hard for a Jew to be joyous all the time. All the events happening around us and what we've been through in life. But it's so critical to be joyous. And I'm going to talk about why. Because it's impossible to be spiritual without joy. And that's how a person can measure their spirituality. If they're happy, optimistic people, that's a sign of spirituality. Why? It means I believe in God. I believe in God. There's hope for the future. We're optimistic. And the guy always asks me, he says, what's going to happen, Rabbi? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? My year, my year, my year. It drives me crazy. My year. And the answer is, Yetov. We believe, as Jews, we believe it's going to be good. In the end, it's going to be good. We don't know what's going to happen in the meantime. I know for sure the good is going to come at the end. Eventually, everything will be good. And that was the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva could see the good even when things are bad. It says you could hear the joy of Rome. You could hear the bustle of Rome miles away from Rome. Imagine the rabbis are going to Rome. Israel is in desolation. The Romans have destroyed Jerusalem. And they're going towards Rome to go and plead with the emperor for some relaxing some of his decrees against the Jews. And they hear the bustling of this great metropolis, Rome, from miles away. And the rabbis are crying. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. He said, well, Akiva, you're crazy. Why are you crying? Why are you laughing? He says, why are you crying? He says, we're crying because we're floundering. Our cities have been destroyed. And we hear this big city of the Romans bustling with action. He said, that's why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because if they who don't serve God are having it so good, how much more so we will have it even better if we're serving God. So eventually it's going to happen. The question is when, that's all. Hopefully we're seeing a little bit now. Baruch Hashem, we're seeing a little bit now. It's an island of sanity in the Middle East, is Israel. Baruch Hashem, one island. We have a small island of sanity. We should remain always an island of sanity in the Middle East, is Baruch Hashem. And peace and prosperity is amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. The inventions just get bigger and bigger. It's amazing. Thank God for everything. So hopefully Bezrat Hashem, we'll see. We're seeing it today. I was trained in Yerushalayim. What does the Torah say? Mitzion tetzeh Torah. Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. From Zion will come Torah. Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The word of God will come from Jerusalem. That's one of the prophecies. We see today all the rabbis getting trained in Israel, getting trained in Yerushalayim, going out to the rest of the world. Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. From Zion will come forth the Torah. It's a prediction which today is amazing. We're seeing it come true. So it's interesting. We have to increase our joy and decrease our joy, but it doesn't say not to be joyous. Even in Av, we have to be joyous. It's amazing. Even Av has to be joyous. Just decrease a little bit. There is a Jewish... Okay, custom. Different customs. That there are some people, that when they build a house, if you build your own house, you have to leave a place, the Shulchan Aruch says, blank of plaster, unplastered. Zechel Churban Beit HaMikdash. It's very hard to do. Because every time you walk in, you see that 1 foot by 1 foot, or whatever, 18 inches by 18 inches, unplastered. That's only if you buy a house when it's being built. If it's already built, you don't have to peel it off. Once it's there, you don't have to peel it off. You buy a house secondhand, it's very plastic, everything's done, you don't have to peel it off. There's no mitzvah to peel it off. The thing is, only when you're building it yourself, if you're having it built for you, and you're in the middle of the building, you can tell the builder, by the way, leave off plaster over there. But it's an interesting concept, it's a very hard concept, to have a house, you walk in and blank patch. Why? Because the person can remember that we had a temple at one time, and the temple was destroyed, even though it's many thousands of years ago. The Shulchan Aruch says, also when you're having a meal, leave off one dish from the meal. Right? Okay, so it's interesting, when All for the Boss, you read the book All for the Boss, it says at his daughter's wedding, instead of dessert, they put out a card. We're not having dessert because of the Churban. No one ever heard of that thing, you know. So can you imagine, the smorgasbord is missing some plates over there. Why? What happened? Churban. Amazing. Who does this today? It's good, huh? It's good. Okay. So, interesting, the service of God is such a fundamental, Rambam says, Yara Hazakah. The performance of all commandments must accompany abundance of joy. Major, this is amazing. You have to do a mitzvah with joy. A person has to do a mitzvah with joy. He does it, it says in the mitzvah of lulav. He talks about lulav. When you shake the lulav, you're going to shake the lulav with joy. Now, it's very amazing. How do you shake a lulav with joy? What is a lulav? For goodness sake, a little bit of palm branch. What are you doing? You're taking this citron and you're taking the... If a non-Jew sees us, well, I think we're crazy. We're crazy. What are you doing? We're shaking these branches and the citron and what's going on. Now, I mean, a person pays $50 or $60, $70 for these little things. Don't cost 10 cents. We pay fortunes. We go spend our time. We go looking through. And the answer is, we're only doing it because it's a mitzvah. There's no other reason to do it. It doesn't make sense. There's no rational reason. We want God to bless our... fruits. We want God to bless with rain. So we're praying to God to bless for rain. These are things that need rain. We're showing God the plants. Please, God, bless us. Bless the rain. But we're doing these things because we're doing it as a mitzvah. And we do it with joy. It's amazing. We spend so much money, we do it with joy. It's amazing. People do it with joy. It's amazing. So it's very, very critical to do. The Rambam says when you do this mitzvah of the lulav and the etrog, do with abundance of joy. Amazing. Rambam says also when you're having a Jewish holiday, it's considered a biblical commandment to rejoice. How do you rejoice? Rambam says so. Men have to rejoice through their stomachs. That's how men rejoice, by the way. I don't know if you guys know the secret, but that's the secret to a man's heart is through his stomach. Meat and wine. The Rambam says meat and wine. You have to eat meat and wine. Well, if you don't like meat, you're doing something which you do like. Give him something he likes. He's got to cook the food, which is good for him. And the women, they get nice clothes and jewelry. You're going to make your wife happy. And the kids, they get snacks or whatever they like. So it's interesting. Everyone's going to be happy on the holidays. It's amazing. The Gemara says, in Brachot 31a, the Gemara says, a person should not pray. Imagine, look at this. A person not allowed to pray if they're unhappy or through frivolity or chatter or idle talk. One should pray only through simcha of a mitzvah. What does that mean? A person should think, I'm doing this mitzvah and I'm doing it with joy before you pray. It's a mitzvah to serve Hashem. We serve Hashem by praying. And praying is a big mitzvah. Therefore, a person is going to say, you know, I'm happy to get closer to God. I want to get closer to God. I want to reach upwards. I want to reach upwards to Hashem. Oh, I need Hashem's help, but I'm doing it with joy. I'm not doing it with sadness. A person needs to pray with joy. It's an amazing concept. That a person, sometimes we need things where a person is sick, whatever it is, still they should pray with joy. Try and find the joy in their life. Be thankful for something Hashem gave them. Not everything is black. It's not all black. There's white and there's black and there's gray. A person's got to find something to rejoice for. It's an amazing concept. We have to serve Hashem with joy. A person's got to pray with joy. Simcha shel mitzvah. The Gemara says also that Hashem's presence does not rest on a prophet unless they are happy. I find it interesting. A prophet has to be happy. How do we know this? We find when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry and he says, Shimu na Hamorim. Remember that? The second time Hashem says, speak to the rock. First time Hashem said, hit the rock. The second time Hashem said, speak to the rock. And what happened?
He hit the rock.
Why did he hit the rock? Because he lost his temper with the Jewish people. Shimu na Amorim, you rebellious people, listen to me, my rebellious people. He hit the rock. And what happens? He lost his prophecy. He didn't know which rock, he didn't know what to do, he didn't know. He got messed up. He lost his prophecy because he got angry. And similarly, we find with Shaul HaMelech, King Saul had fits of depression. And when he got fits of depression, they would bring David to play music for him, to cheer him up. It's very important to be in a good mental state.
And documented
yes, what? David HaMelech.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
He was the first documented musical therapist.
He was the first a lot of things. David HaMelech was the first. Amazing. First man overflowing with love of God. Amazing. Love of God he had. David HaMelech. And we wish we could. One day we'll see these greats come back to life. Well, it's amazing. You imagine, see Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, David. Well, amazing. Okay, so it's critical to be joyous. A prophet cannot be. It says Elisha. The kings of Israel and Judah were together, and they were going to fight a war. And they say, Elisha, tell us what's going to happen. What are we going to do? And Elisha, when he saw the king of Israel, he got so upset. He says, "You're the son of Ahab and Isabel." Got very angry. He lost his prophecy. So he said, bring me someone to play music so I can get back my spiritual prophecy. So we see that joy and music is very critical to have nevuah. A person cannot have nevuah when they're depressed. It's amazing. So depression is like the opposite of spirituality. It's the opposite. So that's why the great rabbis, you see, they're always smiling, beaming, hopefully. They're smiling at people. Because they have to be in a high state of spirituality to be happy, and vice versa. It works both ways. The more happy you are, the more spiritual a person gets. The less happy they are, the less spiritual they get. And the more spiritual they are, the happier they are, because they're closer to Hashem. So it's a cycle. So a person's going to try and reach that level of joy. So the Gemara says, divine presence does not rest upon a person through gloom, nor through laziness, nor through frivolity, nor through levity, not through talk, not through idle chatter, but it rests on a person with joy connected to a mitzvah. So a person's got to find a joy connected to a mitzvah and then pray. So what you do is you put money in the pushka first. First you give staka, But tzedek echazeh panecha, David HaMelech says, with righteousness I will see your face, through an act of righteousness. So it's very important before a person prays, give some money, and the pushka put some money in the stucker box. This way you're doing a mitzvah, a person does a mitzvah and then prays, and that mitzvah will give a person some entire joy. And that joy will help a person pray. Now we know that one of the biggest joys is the joy of marriage. It's very critical because today people make a lot of jokes about marriage. And a lot of these jokes, you know, right? You know these jokes, right? Like the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. That's the classic joke. That's a classic joke. Or the last time I put my foot down, it was at the chuppah. There's so many jokes about marriage and about in-laws and mother-in-laws. You know the joke about the guy, he's in the attic, he started screaming, help, help, help. I said, what's going on? He said, my mother-in-law, she's trying to jump out the windows. I said, okay, you need help? He said, yeah, the window won't open. All these jokes are terrible jokes. They're terrible jokes because they're anti-marriage. They make mockery of marriage. Marriage is such a holy, it's called Kiddushin, it's the holiest institution. And the Gemara says, a person who's not married cannot experience joy. Think about it. If you're not married, you can't experience joy. There's so many singles today and they think they're happy with their life. They're not. They cannot experience what joy is. You can't be happy without someone to share your joy with. It's so important to have someone to share your joy with. It says, a man who has no wife lives without joy, without blessing, and without goodness. The Gemara says in Yevamot, 62:8, amazing. Without joy, without blessing, without goodness. And we know today, the statistics are, a man who's married lives longer than a man who's not married.
Really?
But they don't say that about
women. Don't say about women. Why do you have to mention that? Now what they say is the women who get married live less.
That's right.
Because they have to look after their husbands. So, but anyway, women live longer than men anyway. Women live longer than men anyway. It balances out. They want to scare you guys, okay. But a man lives longer if he's married. So the wife helps him live longer. It gives him joy, looks after him. A man needs to be looked after. A man cannot manage by themselves. They think they're independent, but they can't manage by themselves. How could you do without your wife? Impossible. Okay. So the Gemara also says it depends on who's in power. In fact, when the tzaddikim, the righteous, are in power, there's joy in the world. When the wicked are in power, there's depression in the world. See, if there's a dictator who's a mad lunatic we had 50, 60 years ago, then obviously, how are you going to be happy? The lunatics in the world, running the world. So it's very important to have good leadership. Part of happiness is good leadership. So Zohar especially is very critical about happy when you're doing mitzvot. It's very, very important to be happy. And it says a very important insight over here. The Zohar says amazing insight. The word besimcha has got the same letters as the word machshava.
Oh, wow.
Besimcha, enjoy, bet, sin, mem, chet, hey. It's the same letters as the word machshava. Mem, chet, shin, vet, hey. Except for sin, shin. Okay, a slight difference. But machshava and besimcha. Machshava means thought, and besimcha means happiness, enjoy. So enjoy and your thoughts have got to be in sync to be happy. Where does the joy come from? So the Zohar says, amazing Zohar over here. Machshava and besimcha, same letters. The key to happiness is found through our minds. We talked about this, had a whole book about this. What was the name of the book? It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. The Zohar says, amazing. We never had this point before. Amazing idea. Besimcha and Machshava, same letters. If your mind is happy, you'll be happy. If your mind is not happy, obviously, where's happiness? Happiness is in the mind. A person's going to train their mind to think happy, positive, good thoughts. And a person's going to train their speech to be positive, good speech. Not be critical all the time and negative. Always find something good to say. Always say good things. That's why Gamzu L'Tova is so important. It's so good to say, even this will be for the best, for the good. Very important. Hashem can make it good. In fact, there's a beautiful line. It says, if you have a bad dream, which we never have, right? If you have a bad dream, it says, you go to three friends. You go to three of your friends, and you can find three friends, and the friends will say, Halamat tavach hazai, Halamat tavach hazai, Halamat tavach hazai. You saw a good dream, you saw a good dream, you saw a good dream. Hashem will make it good, Hashem will make it good, Hashem will make it good. Because if we think it's going to be good, it will be good. Mm-hmm. Psychosomatic. Everything's psychosomatic. It's amazing, the psychology of it. So to prevent bad thoughts, because machshava and besimcha are together. Person that machshava has got to think along the lines of simcha, of joy. The Kabbalist, Rav Elazar ben Moshe Azikri. Have you heard of him? He was one of the times of Arizal, Azikri. He wrote the book Sefer Haredim, the book of the Quakers. The first Quakers were the Haredim. You know, it's interesting, in American history, the Quakers, right? Yeah. Why the Quakers? Where did they come from, this word Quakers? And the answer is, it's based on this word in Hebrew, Chared, Charedim. What's Charedim? Shakers, the guys who shake in the fear of Hashem. The Quakers, that's where they got the name from, Quakers.
And Shakers also.
Shakers and the Quakers, that's where they got it from, the same word. It's not rock and roll. It's Shakers and Quakers. But these are, they're shaking in fear of Hashem, trepidation. This, so he wrote a book called Sefer Haredim. Yot Chared Bedvar Hashem. To be in awe of the word of Hashem. Amazing. So, Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar. Amazing. This guy, Rabbi Elazar. Elazar ben Moshe Azikri.
He says,
Azikri.
His name Azar with the Reish?
Elazar.
Oh, okay.
Elazar ben Moshe Azikri. Though a person may be depressed, he says, on account of their bad deeds, they've got to be joyful at the time of divine service. This applies to every service of Hashem. How much more so to the service of prayer, which is called the service of the heart. So how can you serve God with your heart, which is tefillah, when your heart is not happy? It's very hard, by the way. You put yourself in the right frame of mind. Before they pray, a person's got to smile in the mirror and say, I'm happy. Hashem, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Practice the happiness. Practice being thankful, being grateful to Hashem. The Arizal says, the only reason why I received my wisdom is due to my rejoicing at mitzvot. When I do a mitzvah, I'm happy, and that's why Hashem blessed me with this amazing wisdom he had. Amazing wisdom. So joy is very important. And we know the whole idea of the Hasidic movement started based on joy. It's based on joy, not depression. It's to dance and sing and to get a frame of mind of ivduit Hashem b'simcha, serving Hashem with joy. Mitzvah gedola liyot be. Simchat Tamid. It's a great mitzvah to be in joy continuously. Right? Who said that? Rav Nachman of Breslov. So Breslov is very big in being happy and being joyous. So it's a very important idea to be happy. Ivduit Hashem b'simcha. So the Baal Shem Tov, you say, Ivduit Hashem b'simcha, that is the service of Hashem. Ivduit Hashem b'simcha is the Ivduit Hashem. The joy itself is the service of Hashem. When a person is happy, they're serving Hashem by being happy. You know, Hashem, thank you for this world. I'm so happy. Thank you. It's like, today, this morning, by the way, it's glorious. I was walking into Shul this morning. It's beautiful. It's beautiful blue skies. It didn't last very long, but you know, you gotta be happy what you got, right? And yesterday as well. The morning, it's amazing. Okay, we're going through a very strange weather. But we're gonna be happy whatever we get. So the rain, we're happy. The grass is green. And the sun is happy. Thank you, whatever it is. We've got to be happy. What can we do? No point complaining, right?
Right. Can't do anything about it.
No. Okay, so that's a very important. Rav Shneur Zalman, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, happiness is an essential element in the struggle between the godly and the animal souls. Whereas the animal instincts of man and the spiritual instincts of man, a person depressed, the physical instincts take over. That's where a person falls. And a person's happy, the spiritual instincts take over. So it's very important to stay happy. A person who's happy is likely to feel energized, motivated to control oneself. So it's very
impossible to be happy all the time.
I know. And that's why a person's got to learn techniques to make oneself happy. Mm-hmm. How does a person learn techniques? What techniques do we have? So number one we said is remember good times. Okay, take out your pictures of your grandchildren. It's bound to make you happy. Right? Make you happy. That will make you happy in no time if you have grandchildren. Take out pictures of the children. Maybe it'll make you happy. I don't know. Sometimes yeah, sometimes no. I don't know. Depends on you. Okay. But think about things that made you happy in the past. That's why Hashem gave us memories. We have to remember not just bad things, but remember good things. Remember the good things in one's life. Remember one's wedding, one's engagement, one's things. When a person was happy, you want to finish college, Baruch Hashem, you finish school, oh, even better. So a person should be happy. No exams. Imagine, I got my daughter, poor girl. She's going through these exams. Oh, gosh, I can't do them anymore. It's too much. Too much headache, right? What they put these kids through, I tell you. So they got to jump through these hoops. Exam after exam. Poor girl, she's studying. But it's good, she's studying. She'd get a lot of knowledge. Okay. So, but think, we don't have to do this anymore. A person's going to be joyous. Things are moving. We're moving on in life. Baruch Hashem, things are better, hopefully. So, we have to, this is the battle. This is a constant battle. It's free, part of our free will. Part of our free will is, are you going to choose to be happy, or are you going to choose to be sad? And that's something which a person wakes up in the morning, we have to make that choice, and we have to tell our children, I cannot make you happy. I cannot make you happy. I can give you the tools to be happy. And we pray to God. We don't pray for happiness. We pray for success, wealth, health, all these things, security. Hashem says, I'll give you everything, but the choice is yours. Are you going to be happy with what I give you? It's all in your head. It's all up to you. You have to make that choice. So a person can be happy what they have. That's the trick is to be happy what we have, enjoy what we have, make the most of it. That's the toolkit Hashem gave us. Use that toolkit wisely and choose happiness. Choose to be happy. No one else can make you happy. So you can have the best husband in the world, best wife in the world. You know, I got a strange email. It came all the way from England. This is a while back. And the guy is listening to my classes on happiness. This is a guy far away, thousands of miles away. People don't realize, thank God we got 350,000 hits already on this podcast. So people listening all over the world. And this guy sends me an email out of the blue. He says, Rabbi, he says, I don't know what to do. He says, because I'm a happy person, my wife is very miserable all the time. So what am I going to tell him? I said, go find a rabbi locally. I can't help you. I mean, I'm listening to your classes. I'm trying to get my wife to listen to your classes. But you can't make someone happy. They have to decide. They have to make a decision in their lives to try and improve their lives and try and, you know, some people don't want to do that. Some people are just stuck. They just can't move on. It could be. It could be. But I don't know. But these are things that it's very hard to advise people from far away, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So he has to find someone local. But I'm just interesting that people listening all over the world to our talks on happiness. Amazing. Beautiful.
Sometimes a person is so dependent to be happy that they can't understand someone who's sad, and then the wife could be extremely lonely also. Because maybe the husband's not willing to listen to her.
Yeah, okay. It's true. But that's why he has to find someone who he can talk to and she can talk to and go for therapy or counseling. But I can't help them far away like this. So, that's one of the battles that we have with ourselves. Battles is how happy we're going to be and how sad we're going to be. And that's one of the tests. So, Vishwanath Salanta says, he's the founder of the Musa movement, and he says in Sefer Imre Binah, he says over there, he says, a person may be able to conquer and rectify one's negative impulses by being joyful. One of the biggest fixes one is bad midot is by being joyful. Just by being happy, you can fix your negative. Amazing. According to his student, Rav Naftali Amsterdam, Musar study in ecstasy renews the heart and gives joy to the soul. Rav Eliyahu Dessler, there is no happiness in the world of material things. This is very interesting, huh? A person thinks, you know, when I buy things material, it's going to make me happy. And a person buys it and they find them happy. Makes them more depressed. I go to the mall, I go buying, and it's go shopping and shopping and shopping, come back. I don't like this. This I've got to get back, and this I've got to get back, you know. It's great. I send my wife to the mall, it's great.
Now I find it exhausting.
It's fantastic. You know why? They're the most frugal shoppers I've ever seen. They come home, couldn't find anything. Okay. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, okay, let's not suggest that now, okay? Let's not go over there. Okay. It's very expensive, okay. All right, so it's interesting. So it's good, okay, so you go around, look around, give it. But a person's going to realize the true joy is in spiritual things. The true joy you cannot find in physical things. So physical thing might make life more convenient for you. Make life more usable and friendly, but it's not going to make you happy, right? So a person buys a new alarm clock, okay? What's going to do? It's going to wake him up in the morning, and listen, that it's a tool. But are you happy that you got a new alarm clock? Well, I'm, you know, I can wake up on time, but it's good, okay? But am I happy? Am I thrilled? Am I not? But it's interesting, there's a bracha to be said when you're happy. Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'kiyanu v'kiyanu says, so a person's happy, we do buy new things, and there's a bracha to be said. So my son bought a tie. I said, are you happy? He said, yeah. He said, you say bracha. If you're not happy, you bought it. There's no bracha to be said. But if you're happy, you got it. You got a new shirt. You got a new tie. You got a new suit. Yeah, there's a bracha to be said. And it's interesting. The bracha is on life. What is the bracha on happiness? Thank God I'm alive. And that's why it's so important to be happy, because when you're happy, you appreciate life. So that's really the key. The key is happiness is a secret to enjoying life and appreciating life. And when you appreciate life, you appreciate God who gave us life. And that's the secret of service of Hashem. Okay, we're going to stop here. Next week, ladies, is a special program.